Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm just cannot wait for our show today. We've got two special guests with us. I have Eric and Emily Orton, who are the co-authors of the new memoir, Seven at Sea, Why a New York Family Cast Off Convention for a Life-Changing Year on a Sailboat. As the title indicates, they are the parents of five children, and they're joining me today to talk about their exciting journey, as well as working from their happy place. So welcome, Eric and Emily.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for having us on, Belinda.
Yeah. So why don't you guys just take a few minutes and fill in the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourselves and then your journey.
Sure. Well, going back, we moved to New York City in about 1999, and we had two kids at the time, and I was fresh out of college and had big dreams to work on Broadway. And so we moved to New York, and I was able to get a job that was doing that. I worked on Broadway managing shows, and over the years just worked my way up and became a manager and eventually got into producing on my own. And, you know, I was hiring all the folks and making things happen, and had it open my own show and produced a cast album. And then, you know, that was my career. In the meantime, Emily was working with the kids. I'll let you.
Yeah. In the meantime, I had my degree in teaching for English and Spanish, and I taught just for a year before our first daughter was born. And I decided, with Eric's support, that I would stay home with our family, and everything was going along normally there until I think our oldest was in fourth grade, and she asked if I would homeschool her, and things changed then. And we did end up homeschooling starting in 2007. And for me, as an educator and just a curious person, it's been a really great lifestyle of like learning and growing right alongside my children.
Great. So, and now you have five children.
Mm-hmm. Now we have five.
So that journey's changed a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? And then we'll kind of get into a little bit more about your story here with the book and everything.
Okay, where we are now, we have five children. Our oldest is 21. Our youngest is 11. Having a family or bringing people into your life is always an adventure. So, you know, twists and turns with every person that you have in your life. And our youngest was diagnosed with Down syndrome. And so that's been, you know, a new factor that we've had to include in everything about our life and where we go and how we do things. But we found that it has actually taught me in particular that expectations are often limitations in disguise. And I think has opened us up to a more adventurous lifestyle and opened us up to more seeing what the strengths are in each other, each of our kids, and other people, rather than trying to pigeonhole. And that's brought us a lot of joy.
So tell us a little bit about where you are today as far as your business. Are you still homeschooling? I know you had this amazing journey on the sailboat, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But why don't you get us up to speed, like sort of post this amazing one-year journey and what that has represented for you?
Well, coming back from the boat, I think the most important thing that had happened is our mindsets had really shifted. And we had a pretty stable, comfortable life in New York, and we liked our life there, and we still do. But I think coming home from the boat, really, we had become much more comfortable with uncertainty. And I think that's reflected in our lives since then. I mean, the initial years right after coming home was really about just earning money and recovering from having spent time, you know, outside of the you know, spending your day to days bringing in money. And so we had to kind of replenish our bank accounts a little bit. And then But even that, how we went about that and what we've done since then has really shifted. We travel, I mean, we still have our home in New York, but we're gone probably 6 or 7 months out of the year. We're in Hawaii right now. And we just got back from a 5-month trip through Europe where we were sailing with friends that we met while we lived on our boat. And we were helping, you know, we drove a van across Europe, helped them get a van from Greece to Portugal and spent a few months in Portugal. And so that's one example. And in the other years, we've done road trips and other adventures, I guess. They've been a little bit, you know, they've been this side of the Atlantic through the U.S. and Canada, rock climbing trips and coming here to Hawaii. This is our second time here. And so we just find ourselves a lot more fluid, a lot more mobile, a lot more confident moving through the world with higher levels of uncertainty. And that's not how we were before.
Great. So why don't you kind of give our listeners just a little bit of the details of what caused you to say, okay, let's take this leap and let's go out on this sailboat for a year, and then a little bit about that experience.
Sure. Well, I'll go ahead and I guess speak to that, because I had produced a show in New York and it had gone badly in the financial sense of the word. We had opened it and closed it pretty quickly, and I was really trying to break out on my own and make my mark. And when it didn't go well, I just was really embarrassed and kind of went into hibernation. Didn't really want to be, I didn't want to go back to what I had been doing before, because I'd worked on high profile shows and I could earn a living in the industry, but I didn't want to be working for somebody else. And so I just took a temp job. It was, you know, just so I could make ends meet, because Emily was home with the kids. We did have five kids, and I was in a funk, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so I was working downtown in the financial district, and I was working at nights so I could still do creative work and entrepreneurial work during the day. And I would go down to the river and just look at these boats going up and down in the evenings at sunset, and really thought that experience was something that I wanted. And yet I knew nothing about sailing, and none of us did. And yet I felt like it would be something that would be helpful and healing. And Emily and I would talk each night, and there was a sailing school right downstairs from where I worked. And that's why these boats were out there. And Emily said, you know, you should go in and check it out. It might be good for you. And I think that was a big leap for me and for us, because I felt like that was for other people. It was for rich people. It was for people that came from sailing backgrounds. And so to step across from the land onto the dock and start that conversation felt like a big leap. And it went from there. That's where, you know, because my schedule was unusual, they said, you know, you'd have to get 4 people together for us to create a class that will work. And I said, okay. And I tried to recruit coworkers, and that didn't work. And finally, I said to Emily, what if you took it with me and our 2 oldest girls, who were 11 and 9 at the time? And Emily wasn't, I don't mean to speak for her, but she wasn't interested in that. And she wanted to support me. And so we took the class, and that was the beginning of learning how to sail. And from there, it over a period of years, it led up to the decision to actually go live on a boat for a while.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, it was just an idea of a skill Eric wanted to try out. But as we got out on the boat together as a family, we realized that our mind really started to change about how we felt about the time that we had, especially the time we had as our family was growing and what we wanted to trade our life force for. And so we ultimately, it took us a few years to bring the idea to an actual dream/goal with an articulated timeline. And once we did that, it really accelerated. And, you know, we got trained up and we hung out on forums and we learned what we needed to know to be able to get out there. And we did just buy a boat in St. Martin, kind of in the elbow of the Caribbean. And there was a very steep learning curve from there. And we ended up sailing it all the way back to our home in Manhattan. And this, you know, the book that we wrote sort of chronicles all of the trials and tribulations and the foibles and friendships that we were able to experience along the way, as well as just the personal growth. And as Eric said, this mindset of being willing to embrace uncertainty and let things emerge. And I think really just being able to adapt, I guess, that same sort of entrepreneurial risk-taking mindset to our family life as we had in businesses he'd started or projects he'd take on. And it really helped us wonder and be curious about how we were going to solve problems more than get weighed down by worry. So that was a huge benefit to all of us.
Oh, I bet. I mean, it makes you think, you can always think back to, well, if I got through that, I can get through this. I mean, even different experiences I've had in my career, sometimes I feel bogged down and then I think back to something that was just huge that I had to overcome. And I think, I can get through that. That was a lot worse than this. Like, stay focused. Like, don't go down this rabbit hole. So when you can look at life through that picture of kind of what an accomplishment, and like you said, it was a lot of trials, I'm sure it does make you look through at life through a different picture.
What you just said there, Belinda, reminds me of a book I read. I can't remember the name of the book, but it was basically like, you know, you come into life and you look at a problem, you say, that problem is an 8 and I'm a 4. And so it feels like it's a big problem. And then later on in life, you look at that same problem and say, oh, that problem is a 2 now. And I could, you know, but I'm operating at the level of a 6 or a 7, and just the same problems as you tackle these things and move through them, they, like you said, you gain a perspective where you can look back and say, oh, that's a manageable task now. That's a manageable mm-hmm. challenge. And we feel less daunted as we move through life.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's obviously had a great impact in your lifestyle today. So why don't we talk about a couple of skill sets that you guys think that have been, that each of you have, and we'll start with Eric and then we'll go to Emily, that have really helped you be successful in your businesses, but also in this journey, because I'm sure it really put you out of your, for both of you, it was something new that you had never done. So it does require some of those probably past skill sets that contribute to that overall success.
Like I said, going back to this idea of being uncomfortable with uncertainty, I think I came out of it with different skill sets that I went into it. And so maybe I can speak to one going in and then one coming out. Because, you know, I studied music. And so when I went out into the world, I was working in the entertainment industry and working on a creative project, taking on writing a musical or producing a show or recording an album, which was the kind of work that I did. You just have to, it's going to take shape as it happens. And you have an idea of what the outcome is going to be, but you just move into this uncertainty. And you end up coming across moments that are a surprise. You know, you're working with an actor and they will play a scene in a way that different than you expected, or I would write music and then it gets turned over to the orchestrator and the orchestrations come back and I'm like, wow, you know, I'd never thought of that combination of instruments or sounds before, but I love it. In some cases, it's not always a pleasant surprise, but more often than not, the unexpected surprises us in positive ways if we're open and flexible to it.
Right.
And so I think that was a hard lesson for me to transfer over to our trip because, I kind of had in mind what I thought this trip was going to be, and it turned out to be very different in really positive ways. I came home pleasantly surprised, I guess. And then coming out of that, I guess I was coming, so that was going into the trip, and then coming out of it, I just think I came out more humble. And then everything that I did, I realized that it was about, cause I ended up transitioning into sales for a solar company. I was running offices for them and basically running my own business under their umbrella. And I learned that it was all about people, that it was about loving people, loving my customers, loving my employees. And the more I focused on, and I guess I should back up. The thing that pleasantly surprised me the most from our trip was that I thought it was going to be about cool places and doing a cool thing of being on the boat. But it was actually the people that we met along the way that really made it special. And so I learned that it was about people while we were sailing. And then when I came home, I was reminded that loving people and those relationships are what make for success in no matter what form.
That's great. Emily?
Yeah. For me, I think one of the skills that was most useful was just regularly evaluating our priorities, regularly evaluating our values, and making sure that was in alignment with how we were using our resources, especially spending our time. And that was something that, because we were constantly evaluating that and considering our rhythm and how things were working, it allowed us to be really nimble and pivot when necessary. And I think what Eric's talking about, humility, just being willing to be in that rookie space and own that and be ready to learn and accept input and mentors and, you know, new information. And the times when we really get stuck are when we're unwilling to learn for some reason. And two of the main reasons that make it hard for us to grow are fear, because we can't really see ourselves as a person who's capable of doing what's being asked, or pride. And maybe in similar way, just feeling like that we're right, or we already know, or we don't know, but we don't want anybody else to know that we don't know, or we'll be embarrassed. And I think that has been really helpful for us, for me personally. And I think in knowing our values, just knowing that we, in each of us and in our family and in our lives, we put a premium on growth way more than on paycheck or promotion. We value learning. And when you know what you value, then you can really aim for getting that in your life. And I think we've seen a huge success in having lots of opportunities to gain new skills, learn new things, and just become, you know, more expansive in our minds and in our lives. And so that would be, I just think, yeah, really being humble and constantly evaluating were two of the soft skills that have made the most impactful difference in how we've proceeded through life.
That's great. So do you want to share with us, either one of you or Eric, what one of your greatest accomplishments are? Something that's meaningful for you? I'm sure this trip was pretty big accomplishment and meaningful, but is there anything outside of that you'd like to share with us?
I would, yeah. Because, like I said, I think I came home a different person. I changed into a different, completely different kind of work. And I realized that life is short, that time moves fast, and that the time to do things, if we're going to do them, is now. And I had had a lifelong dream of, I'm a rock climber as well. I'd started rock climbing when I was 14 years old and took a big, long break after we got married to raise five kids. And I'd gotten back into climbing shortly before we started sailing. And I'd always wanted to climb El Capitan. It's kind of, everyone's not going to know what it is, but there's a movie out right now called Free Solo, and it's about a guy named Alex Honnold who climbed El Capitan, which is the biggest single piece of granite on the earth, and it's in Yosemite, California. And I'd always wanted to go climb this thing. You know, the movie is about Alex who did it without any ropes, which is not how I live my life. You know, I did it, you know, I wanted to do it sort of the conventional way with ropes and a climbing partner and all that. And it, you know, and the strategy that we had was going to take about 3 days. And so you end up sleeping on the cliff for a couple of nights. And this is something that I always wanted to do. And I talked with my kids. My kids had heard me talking about it. And one day our daughter, Sarah Jane, asked us, again, this was when we were home from the trip. And she said, "So where is Yosemite?" And pulled out a globe or a map and pointed that it was in California. And she's like, "Wait a second, this place is in our country and you still haven't gone?" And she was really kind of calling me on the carpet, like, "I can't believe you're just all talk about this. And it's just so close. And what's your problem?" And I had all kinds of hangups about doing this. I didn't have the right gear. I was out of shape. You know, my skills were down because I hadn't been climbing for a long time. And she kind of embarrassed me into acting and doing what I was always saying was important to me, and but my actions didn't reflect that. And so, again, with Emily's encouragement, I bought a plane ticket to California, got some gear, and said, okay, well, I'm going to go in a month, and I'm going to do my best to get in shape. And on that trip, I went out there, and I ended up taking my daughter Allison with me, and she was my climbing partner. And I did not climb El Capitan on that trip. But that was one of three trips in quick succession that led to me going out there and finding a climbing partner and doing this three-day climb, a 3,000-foot cliff, where I was doing something that I wanted to do for 30 years. And when I came down from that cliff, you know, at 2 in the morning, 3 days later, and could barely walk, my legs were so, you know, spent, and Emily and all the kids met me at the bottom. It was just this huge triumph for me, and they were there to celebrate it and share it with me. And it was just a reminder that we might think we have all the time in the world to do the things that we want. And I'm just thinking about Notre Dame burning yesterday, and we think things that are always going to be there just aren't. And that can be a world landmark like the Notre Dame, or it can be our own lives. We think we have time, and we may not. And so that was a huge achievement for me, even though it's its own kind of separate activity, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. So sad about Notre Dame, and I just feel so grateful that we jumped on the opportunity to go to Europe, and we saw that when we did. And I think that's so important, knowing your personal metrics. Like when you talk about working from your happy place, what is it that actually makes you happy? And for me, that's been shifting. You know, as a professional educator, I have thoroughly enjoyed educating my own children and pouring all of my interest into, you know, not only studying cognitive development and different curriculums and knowing the strengths and weaknesses of my own little group of students, but then being able to take them on these kind of first person hands-on learning experiences. And like for me, I'm doing what I had always trained to do and what my interests were, but that is really shifting as my kids have gotten older. Two of our kids have since moved out. And like I said, our youngest is 11. We have one looking at colleges now and then a middle schooler. But the shift for me is that as they become more independent and are spreading out, and I think any good boss knows this, that you're always going to want to be playing to the strengths of, you know, your employees and of giving them opportunities for growth. So in that role, I'm such a business book junkie, and I apply it to everything in our home. In that role, giving them greater autonomy and opportunities for leading their own growth, that leaves me in a new role. And so I think going to live on a boat with our family was a very challenging but completely worth it experience. And I think writing a book about it was even harder. And I'm shifting now from pouring all of my energy and skill, effort, whatever, into my own home to now trying to share outside more broadly, like taking on this project. I've always been blogging, but to sit down and write a full book and build that into the rhythms of our life and our commitment pattern, working with agents and publicists and things like that has been a new shift for me. And I'm really, really proud of what we've done there. I'm happy to share it because we have been receiving such great feedback from other people who feel like, hey, I don't want to live on a boat, which is awesome. Our book is not about everyone should live on a boat, but the feedback I'm getting is this makes me want to live more bravely. This makes me want to reconsider the choices I'm making. And I love that, like, all the effort is worth it. Like you, we want to help people sort of wake up to the idea of their own possibilities, their own potential. And that's been really, really satisfying. So it was super hard, but I just want to keep doing it. It was so great to be able to bring that you know, to market.
Yes. It's not easy to write a book. So congratulations on that. So why don't you, before we close, like, so you went and you did this experience, but then how did you decide you were going to write a book about the experience, and how did that come to pass?
It was, we never planned to write a book when we did the trip. We wrote a blog and we wrote journals. And honestly, people just asked us as soon as we got home, so when are you going to write the book? And enough people asked that question that it planted a seed for us. And fast forward a couple of years, I just thought, you know, if I die, what's the thing that I most want to, what's the best way that I can spend my time? What's the thing that only I can do? And I felt like I was out there and I was making good money. My business was doing well, but I felt like, you know, what's that, the saying, you know, you don't want to die with your music inside you. I felt like if I die with this book inside me, I'll regret it. And so we just made that the priority, and I started in, and Emily joined me, and we made it happen.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it was all the same principles of whenever we're starting a business or doing sales. Like we created the product and we started cold calling and querying agents, and we got an agent, and then the process just starts over with publishers. And then once you get a publisher, the process just starts over with marketing. So it's, you know, it's been good again for us to be in that rookie mindset and being like, well, we're willing to learn in this new space. We just have really enjoyed how much we've been able to grow.
Great. So what advice would you give to those wanting to be entrepreneurs?
To be entrepreneurs, I would say don't worry so much. You know, you're tackling a big problem. You know, anytime you start a business, it's because you're trying to solve a problem and present a solution for your customers. But I worried a lot. I used to lose a lot of sleep, and I learned that three kinds of, from the boat trip, the things that I learned that have helped me in business are, one, you learn new skills. I learned all kinds of things about how to run a boat, plumbing, engineering, or, you know, running, taking care of engines and all things that I didn't know about before at all. And there's big credibility in doing what you say you're going to do. And so if you have an idea, just go for it. Nobody's going to laugh at you for trying. And that was one of my biggest fears in doing this boat trip, was that even if we fell flat on our face, people would laugh at us. But I found that nobody did laugh at us, but I think they applauded us for making the effort. And then when we came through, they I don't want to say they envied us, but they, you know, they believed in us and we believed in ourselves, I guess, was the most important thing. And then moving through that, we just realized that things emerge. And as we got more and more, as we were talking about at the beginning, as we get comfortable working through and solving problems, we become calm. At least I became calm, because I learned that I didn't have to have all the answers and all the information to start. And when you're an entrepreneur, nobody does. I guess, real quick story, when I produced one of my first shows, one of my investors in New York came to me and he said, so how did you get into this program where you get to produce an off-Broadway show? And I said, there's no program. Nobody invites you to do this sort of stuff. I had the idea and I got the script. In this case, I had written the show as well. And I went out and I found a theater, and then I found the investors, and nobody's going to send you an invitation. There's never going to be a good time. There's never going to be enough money, and nobody's going to ask you to do it. It's all about choosing to do it and just pressing forward into the unknown. And so that's my advice.
Yeah, I love that, Eric. I think that's really important. I think one of the things that has really helped us, like you said, being an entrepreneur is a lot of risk taking. I think it's, my advice would be to surround yourself with people who believe in you. And sometimes that's just books. I mean, people like, I would say Seth Godin, he believes in you. He is always encouraging us to figure out what gift we can bring to the world, what problem we're going to solve, and then encouraging the stamina. But if it can be a real life person that you can call or go for a walk with, that is, it's so helpful to have somebody that you can trust your dreams with, your ideas with. And I think as far as just sort of managing fear and cultivating emotional stamina, for us, having a gratitude practice has been really helpful, because I think there are so many hard skills, you know, being able to budget or, you know, things like that. But the place where we sort of break down is in our humanity. And so we need to shore up our fears and our courage. And for us, just practicing gratitude daily. And when we really get in a pinch, that's another time that we just look back and say, okay, what are all of the things that we have to be grateful here? And it just sort of pushes back the fear enough to let you breathe, let go of some of those worries, think more clearly. And that's when, you know, your good ideas will really come in.
That's great. And that's really great advice, Emily, for sure. So in closing, why don't you tell us any other exciting things that you're working on, and then tell people where they can find you and how can they get your book?
Sure. They can find us at 7atc.com, and that also links to our blog, which is on a different website. But everything, 7atc.com is the title of the book, and you can all find it there. And now we're here in Hawaii, and we're working on our next books. We just found that, and we're learning on surf. We're practicing surfing. So,
that's true.
Yeah. After writing the first book and having a lot of experiences since then, we like this lifestyle. It makes, you know, it is our happy place. We love what we're doing now, and we want to keep doing it. And so we're going to write and surf and keep traveling.
Oh, yeah, play a little music along the way. I think, yeah, it for us, again, it's a rookie space. We're growing a lot, and we really are enjoying this. So I think it's really exciting to be in a new space, in a new industry. And I think here, again, is another chance for us to be humble and open. And we're just now starting to move into the public speaking space. So that's a new risk on the horizon for us. And anyway, so that's where we're having fun right now.
Very good. All right. Well, I wish you much continued success. And are you going to do much more with any of your Broadway work or your music, Eric? Or is that something that you've decided to just kind of leave behind? Or what's the story with that?
You know, it's funny because our agent said, you know, Eric, because we wrote a lot of music while we were traveling, and we perform as a family band. And so we'd play at sailor bars and open mic nights along the way. And we actually won an award for Audience Choice Award, which we were
out of two people
quite proud of, you know, at this dive bar in St. Martin. But she's like, Eric, you know, what if this were Eric and Emily, what if this were a musical? And we kind of laughed at the idea originally. And we're like, well, but actually maybe not so much. And then, ironically, since we got here to Hawaii, we're going to be participating in the Hawaii Book and Music Festival. And essentially, as I was getting clarification yesterday, I was understanding what they're asking us to do. And essentially, they're asking us to do a 30-minute sort of tell your story and perform songs along the way. And I was like, okay, this is like the miniature musical version of maybe what this will turn into down the line. So, I still love theater. I love live theater. And there's so much good that happens in that industry, and who knows, maybe we'll end up there, but it'll just be a story that I never expected to be on the stage.
No skills left behind.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well, thanks to both of you so much. It's been really wonderful having both of you on the show, and I've got the book, and I would encourage you to go out and grab it.
Hey, thanks so much, Belinda.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.